Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels, another day of improv where I do almost no show prep. So we found out that Donald Trump is going to be forced to pay $355 million thanks to this crooked judge, Judge Engoron, who, by the way, apparently slept with staff members on a former case. That rumor was circulating today. I don't know if that's true or not, but that is what's going around. So he threw $355 million against Trump, and this is the really, really, really bad part about it. Trump has good grounds to object to all of this stuff, but he still has to come up with almost a half a billion dollars just for the appeal. Donald Trump has to put up another $100 million in interest, and this could, if we're doing the math correctly, could force him to sell some of his properties. I heard in some estimates that amount of money is about 14 to 17% of Trump's net worth. So, do we really think he's going to do that? Is this possible? And then we find out that Letitia James, she said that if Trump can't put up the cash, she is just going to take over Trump Tower. Talk about the ovaries on this slob. How dare she do something like this? And all of the Democrats are just fine with the whole thing. Supposedly, Trump, just to secure the right to appeal, is something along the lines of, what, $45 million or something like that? It was just some outrageous amount that he has to pay to get this stuff done, and it is a true travesty of justice. The Democrats just love this stuff. Let me point to the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, and this may apply in this case. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. This certainly seems to fall in some category of the aforementioned Eighth Amendment in favor of Donald Trump. How could anybody in New York even say that this is supposed to be even legal on any grounds? You can't do things like this. And you even have the idiotic Governor Hochul. She is saying to everybody, business people have nothing to worry about because they're very different than Donald Trump and his behavior. This says to us that this was a targeted attack against Donald Trump, and everybody else can just go back to falling asleep and doing what they do because they're not Donald Trump. This is a political persecution. And on top of that, what this says is to all of the real estate people in New York City that if you don't abide by the Democrat Party's wishes, then they're going to sic the AG after you, and they're not going to uphold the law. They're just going to do whatever they want. And in this case, go after Trump when there is no jury or anything else. It's just at the whims of the judge, the very, very corrupt judge. So if I were real estate people, I wouldn't necessarily be taking a look in New York State, never mind New York City, because we know how utterly corrupt the whole process has become. But here's another thing. If they continue along these lines and they drive out a whole bunch of real estate people, then you're looking at a drop in real estate prices. This means it could be scooped up by Democrat-friendly real estate professionals. Then they can start going into their 15-minute city process, their electronic digital currencies, their universal basic incomes, and so on and so on. This is part of a longer game that they're pushing here, and that is the angle I suspect they're going down if I, Chris Michaels, am correct. New York Times publisher defends coverage of Biden's age. Apparently this is a big deal in the White House. You're not supposed to talk about what a dotard Joseph Biden is. You're not supposed to say anything about his mental faculties. It's a big, big hush, hush, don't say a word. Well, apparently, Mr. What's his name again? Sulzberger, that's what it is. Arthur Gregg Sulzberger, New York Times publishers, said that they have to be just as fair to President Joseph Biden as they're as fair to Donald Trump. He is historically unpopular and the oldest man to ever hold office. And we're proud to report on that. So listen, this is nonsense what Mr. Sulzberger is trying to throw out there. We all know that the New York Times is, one, pretty stupid. Two, it is completely woke. It is only run by individuals that toe the Democrat Party line. So to sit there and say that, oh, well, we give a fair shot to Donald Trump. No, you don't. You never have. You've never done any sort of true research into any of the accusations against Donald Trump. You just parroted whatever the Democrat Party wanted you to parrot. Hello, Adam Schiff and Russiagate and Ukrainegate and January 6th and all of that. The New York Times went along with anything, and it had nothing to do with truth. Next, oh, we have to be fair against Joseph Biden. Really? You haven't been giving us a fair view of what Joseph Biden has done to this country for the past 3 years. What makes you think that we're going to get a fair view about Joseph Biden now from the old gray lady? It's not going to happen. But what is happening is that we all know the New York Times is the Democrat Party mouthpiece, and they want Joseph Biden out of here. So now they are pushing him. They're trying to get somebody else to take the reins from Joseph Biden, and the sooner the better. They're making people aware that the guy is not going to be around for much longer. There is no doubt in my mind. I would even wager a bet, even though it's illegal, that Joseph Biden is going to drop out in one form or another. That could be keeling over and saying, oh, the poor guy died from old age. Or he could come out and say, well, you know, I appreciate the nomination, but I'm going to give all of these primary delegates to somebody else because I'm just too old. I'm sick. I need to spend time with my family. Yes, of course. That's exactly what it is. That's going to be what happens here, because there's no other option. There really isn't any other option to all of this. And the Democrats, for those Democrats out there that think that Kamala Harris is going to be a replacement for Joseph Biden, a good replacement for Joseph Biden that would defeat Donald Trump, you haven't been in politics, or you've got your head shoved so far up your ass that you can't see the light of day even with a horse speculum. That's how bad these people are. Kamala Harris is going to take over for Joseph Biden? If that's true, then you now also understand why so many Democrat backers are throwing their money behind Nikki Haley. Because Nikki Haley is the true Democrat nominee. It's not anybody that the Democrats can throw out there right now. She's the one that the industry people want. That's why she's still in this primary race. That's why even if she loses in her own home state, she's going to continue to run because she's got all of the money behind her, the Democrat money against Trump. That's what that is about. And you're starting to see fractures all across America. I've brought this up before in the past. All of these states creating bullion depositories. And thank you to Joseph Farrell over at GizaDeathStar.com for bringing those stories to light. But here's the real gist of what you have to understand. When you see states creating gold bullion depositories or any kind of bullion depositories, that says that they no longer have faith in the federal government, nor do they have faith in the Treasury, nor do they have faith in the Federal Reserve. So they want to make sure that they have financial security outside of any of those three aforementioned corrupt agencies. And they will be okay in case of a financial crisis. It also could potentially lay the groundwork for secession, because you can't secede or cede from the nation unless you have some kind of financial backing, some sort of financial security in real hard assets, not fiat currency. Just trust us. This is what we think the real dollar is worth. And it, oh, by the way, this legal debt is tender, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Coming from Utah, there's something called the Sovereignty Act, and it will supposedly rein in federal government under the guise of states' rights. So what does that mean? States' rights. States can do whatever they want to do as long as it's not within, as long as it's given freedom to do so from the Constitution. It's part of the elastic clause and all that stuff. All right, so Utah Constitutional Sovereignty Act. See, isn't this improv stuff fun? No show prep. Going into it, I'm probably wrong with what I just said, but I'm going to plow right along. The Utah Constitutional Sovereignty Act establishes a framework for the legislature to prohibit the enforcement of a federal directive within the state by government officers if the legislator determines the federal directive violates the principles of state sovereignty. Aha! So, hands off. Basically, this enables Utah to have the same powers as a sheriff in a county. In other words, it will be more powerful than the federal government if the federal government tries to limit the powers of the state of Utah. Describes the ways in which a federal directive violates the principles of state sovereignty, limits the authority for requesting a concurrent resolution under the bill. It also requires the legislature to consult with the Attorney General regarding the potential impact of a concurrent resolution on litigation and to provide notice to representatives of tribal governments, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So the big problem here for the federal government is that this state is asserting its rights. Ultimately, I suspect this will go to the Supreme Court, because if they're going to allow this to happen, then they're going to have other states like Texas follow suit and say, listen, we're creating this law. If it ain't in the Constitution, you do not have the power to do it. So that means that the federal government could not cede its authority to someplace like the World Health Organization to be under a new pandemic treaty, where the World Health Organization then says, we're declaring a pandemic, even though there is none, and we're demanding that all member nations abide by our policy directive, which is to mandate new genetically altered shots to be injected into people within 100 days, regardless of whether or not we've done safety tests. That's what the pandemic treaty is all about. That's what the Biden administration wants to sign on to, thanks to its backers in Big Pharma and backers like Bill Gates. They want total control over what goes on in these countries. So a state like Utah is saying, that's not for us. We're not going to abide by this because the government does not have the ability to shove mandates down our throat if the World Health Organization deems it necessary, because we don't trust the World Health Organization. So that could potentially be a scenario that we're looking at here. But it's extremely interesting, because more and more states, they're going to start feeling their oats. They don't trust this administration anymore. You're looking at a lot of states breaking away from this nonsense and saying enough is enough. We're not going to take this kind of ridiculous policy. And you can, I'm sure, think of many, many others. Okay, I'm done. 13 minutes. I told you I got a busy, busy week, and even busier next week. So that's all you're going to get from me. You know what to do. Like me, find me, share me. Let's call Caravan on all of your social media platforms. And also, Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels on your podcasting platform.